Once again, the passage on which the sermon is based tonight is Acts chapter 16, reading from verse 6 to 15. I'll let the musos be seated, and I'll swap over to my... As we prepare to hear the word of God, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good news about Jesus. Thank you that you have drawn us and opened our hearts so that we can believe your word. I pray that tonight you would bless the words that I speak and that you would open our hearts and ears to receive your good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, have you ever felt like God is closing a door? Have you ever had a fond dream or a wish or a hope or a prayer? Something that you thought was good and godly and that you have prayed really hard about, and for some reason God has just said no, that's not going to happen right now. If you're anything like me, and I know that I am, then this will be an experience that is possibly not too uncommon to you. What happens when God closes a door? Tonight in this passage from Acts, we see something remarkable, and it's about God closing one door for Paul and his companions for them to proclaim the gospel. Let me read from Acts chapter 16, from verse 6. Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. What? Do you do a double take when you hear those words? What on earth is the Holy Spirit doing stopping Paul and his companions from preaching the word? But it goes on. When they came to the border of Mysia and tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. What on earth is going on here? Why would the Holy Spirit be closing a door for the very thing that Paul was sent out to do, which is to proclaim the good news? Well, to try and help to understand this, we need both a bit of geography and a bit of history. So I hope that it's not too boring and that you don't think, oh no, you know, I hated those subjects in school, here we go again. But to really understand what's going on, we've got the Mediterranean Sea here, and this is Paul's missionary journey. He's in Antioch, and he's coming into the region of Asia, as it was called then. He's trying to go into Mysia, which is on the southern shore of the Black Sea, and to head over to some of the major population centres that are found in this region called Bithynia. But God is saying, no, you can't go there. I'm closing that door. I'm not answering those He is actually answering those prayers, but he's answering them not with a yes, but a definitive no. So, what is going on? Why is the Holy Spirit doing that? Well, this is what comes next. When God is closing a door for you, you can be sure that God has a plan that is actually better than the plan that you hoped to have when you walked through that door that should be open because of all your hard work and your prayers. This is what comes next. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia, that's up here, standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So for some reason, God didn't want Paul and his companions going here. He wanted them over here. Now, if we have a look at some of the cities that are on the route that Paul takes next, we begin to see that this is important stuff. Philippi. Can anyone guess the name of the book of the Bible that is named after that town? Philippians, yep. Then we have Thessalonica. Any guesses? First and Second Thessalonians, not just one book, but two. Down here we have Corinth. Again, you're getting good at this. First and Second Corinthians. About a quarter of the New Testament is books, letters that Paul has written to the cities that he's about to visit, having been kept by God from going into one region. So there's important stuff happening. God has a plan. It's not Paul's plan, but it's a good plan. In fact, it's a very good plan. So let's have a little bit more of a look at what comes next. Here in Acts chapter 16, verse 10, something very important happens. If you're an attentive reader, you'll notice it in both English and in Greek. Can anyone have a guess as to what goes on for the very first time in Acts chapter 16, verse 10? Someone who's got that open? No? All right. The suspense is killing us. For the very first time, Luke, the author of the book of Acts, uses the word we. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. There's a very strong suggestion here that Luke actually joins Paul and his companions when they are in Troas, and that the journey that we get from here in the book of Acts, Luke kind of comes and goes. He's an eyewitness to some of what Paul is doing on his missionary journeys, and he's not there for some other parts of that. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. Why? Because we concluded, says Luke, that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So God is calling Paul and Luke, who writes the book of Acts, to an important journey so that they can preach the gospel in the next region. And now Paul comes to the city called Philippi. And Philippi is a very important city. It's a very strategic city in the life of our first century Mediterranean world. So we get some seafaring stuff in verse 11 and 12. From there we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And there we stayed several days. So Philippi is the most important city in this area. It's strategic. God wants Paul to be preaching the gospel in Philippi. And this is what happens. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So in Philippi, Paul and his companions don't find a synagogue, which requires 10 Jewish males. You need 10 Jewish males to form a synagogue. Paul doesn't find one. There's obviously not enough Jewish males in the city of Philippi for Paul to proclaim the gospel at the synagogue. So instead, he goes to the river. And by the river, he finds not 10 men, but a group of women. A group of women who are what is called God-fearers or worshippers of God. That is, they are people in a polytheistic culture who believe that there is only one creator God and who worship that God. Now, what has led to this happening? What has led to Lydia being a worshipper of God? Here's where the history comes in. God has been preparing the whole of the ancient world, except it wasn't ancient at that time, it was kind of contemporary. He's been preparing this time for hundreds of years. It goes back, first of all, to the Jewish exile to Babylon in the 6th century BC. So 600 years before all these events, the Jews were spread out across the whole of the known world. And wherever they went, they started synagogues. And they told people that there are not many gods, there is only one true God. And that God is the creator. And that we can know him, we can have a relationship with him. So that's the first major event that God has used to bring the knowledge of himself to this woman called Lydia. Secondly, there was a man called Alexander the Great. He's known as one of the greatest generals of all time. He was completely undefeated in battle. By the time that he was 30 years old, he had formed an empire that spanned from Italy to the border of India. He didn't live very long after that. But what Alexander's conquest did was to bring something called Hellenism into the world, which was that the Greek and Macedonian culture that Alexander the Great brought had spread throughout the entire world, and everyone spoke Greek. It's a little bit like the situation of today, where almost everywhere you go, you can find someone who speaks English. It's kind of the lingua franca. It's the common language of the people of the whole world. And so the whole Greek culture and the Greek language had brought people together into this one kind of globalized Hellenic world and culture. And that's why Paul was able to communicate with Lydia and to speak to her in her own language. It's really remarkable when you think about the confluence of events that God has brought to bear in order that the gospel could be preached here by the river in Philippi. Just an aside, which I think is an important and interesting one, and that is that in speaking to a number of indigenous Christians, Aboriginal Lutherans in Central Australia, I've discovered that many of the indigenous cultures also had a belief in one creator spirit, one creator God. And that when the missionaries came, the Christian missionaries, they said, this is what fulfills and completes our culture. This is actually the pinnacle of our dream time. Now we know this one creator God. We know that he has been revealed to us in Jesus and that he's brought us good news. And so throughout history, God has always prepared people who know that God exists and who worship him and who are ready and open for the good news. Lydia was well off. She was a dealer in purple cloth. Now, purple cloth was the cloth of royalty. It was very expensive. To get the dye to make the purple cloth, you had to grind up the shells of hundreds of a particular kind of shellfish and then extract this very expensive dye. So Lydia was a very affluent person. And God opened her heart to believe the message. What was the message? The message is the gospel. It's the good news that not only is there one God, but that he loves us. Not only does he love us, but he loves us enough to draw us back to himself and to reconcile us to himself through the incarnation and death of his one and only Son. And not only did he reconcile us to himself, but he gave us new life through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Lydia heard the message. She said, this is good news. All of my life, I've known that God is real. Now I know that I can know him personally, that I can be reconciled to him, that I can have a relationship with him, that I can have the new life that he offers through his son Jesus. And so, right there by the river, on that day, Lydia and her household were baptized. They became members of God's family. They entered into the promises of God, which he gives us through Jesus. And then, she's connected. She's now a sister in Christ with Paul. And so she invites Paul and his companions back to their household. She says, when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So Lydia shows hospitality to those who have brought the message to her. Her house also becomes a base for further work of the gospel in the city of Philippi. And if any of you have been to Sunday school, you probably know the story of the jailer, the Philippian jailer. We're going to get to that one next week. It's a really exciting story. It's a very different demographic from an affluent, well-off, God-fearing, middle-class woman to a cruel, hard, harsh, probably polytheistic jailer who would have seen his fair share of crime and violence. Paul writes to the Philippian church in words that any of us would be really glad to hear. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, this is many years later, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Paul made excellent friendships in the city of Philippi. He made wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ, people who heard and received the message of the good news of Jesus. And he is full of joy. I don't know how full of joy he would have been a few days earlier when it seemed like God was blocking his every attempt to go where he wanted to go. And I suppose that's the way that I want to finish. When God closes a door, he opens another. When God says no to some of your wonderfully productive, strategic plans and prayers, he always has something better in mind. And the door that God opened to Paul was the door of hospitality and sisterhood with that woman called Lydia, who received the good news that we can know God, that he reconciles us, that he gives us new life through Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which Lydia experienced and shared, may that fill your hearts and minds and keep them in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour.